As we prepare for our second session, we will use a moment for rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? And now, Father, as we return to our study, it is our prayer that we would pay this message the concentration it requires. For it has to do with your decree and our place in it, but recognizes the concept of free will. That's on our side of the ledger. On God's side is the decree. He knew in eternity past how we would think, decide, act, and therefore has prepared this life in such a way to adjust to those decisions, motivate us to improve upon our decision-making processes so that we might better be a representative for you in the devil's world, to glorify Christ as our Savior, and to magnify your word as the only source of truth. And we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Now let's go back and get ready to do this by observing the definition of the divine decree. The decree of God is His eternal, holy, wise, and sovereign purpose. Well, now it's eternal. It's holy, which means that there's divine integrity involved. It's wise, which has to do with His omniscience. It has to do with His sovereignty as well. And then that is mentioned next. For there is a sovereign purpose behind all of this. Comprehending simultaneously all things that ever were or will be in their causes, conditions, successions, and relations, and then determining their certain futurition. If God comprehends all things that ever were or will be, then the decision-making of the believer is not only understood by Him, but its effect is also managed by Him. Now, every decision you make is a cause that has an effect. The only person it may affect is you personally. So you keep it in the cage. But there are potential ramifications for every thought, decision, and action. So you have a cause and an effect. It doesn't stop here, as we're going to demonstrate. This effect, therefore, becomes a new cause that has an effect. Another cause and effect. Another cause and effect. This ripple domino therefore branches out in its impact on others. Now, when the thought, decision, and action is based on truth, then all of these offshoots of this decision, as we're going to demonstrate, have a positive impact on others as well as the plan of God. Your place in it and your movement forward within the system. You're not an island. We could also say that this cause and effect sequence began with a cosmic concept that has this ripple effect. Now, you would go back to our definition. What do we learn from the definition? We learn from the definition that God understood that in eternity past. And the system is so structured to where these ripple effects are going to occur, and they can either be positive or negative. And you can cause this domino effect with every decision you make, for blessing or for cursing. Note that causes come first in the sequence of events that are decreed. Applied to the believer's spiritual status quo, the cause refers to thought, decision, or action. Now, that's where we left off in the first session, so we're going to dissect the definition of the decree. Next in line is conditions. Note causes, conditions, successions, and relations. Cause refers to thought, decision, or action. Next in line is conditions, that aspect of the cause in question that is essential to the occurrence of something. That is, was it a good thought, decision, or action, or a bad one? Okay, what's the condition of the cause? Okay, let's put our cause up here. And we call it CA for cause. And then there's a condition. And then we have a succession. And then we have a relation. Now, the cause, the CA here, can be, we call it positive or negative, simplicity. Good decision or bad decision. All right. That over here is the condition. Good, bad. Cause, first cause. It is either good or bad. That's the condition. So it is that aspect of the cause in question that is essential to the occurrence of something. That is, was it a good thought, decision, action, or a bad one? So each cause has a condition. That is, a decision is a cause that can be either good or bad. How simple is that? Each of these causes has successions. That's what comes next in the definition. That is, a potential sequence of events that succeed one another, thus building and enlarging upon the first cause for either expanded blessings or intensified suffering. So over here, blessing or suffering. Repeat. Each of these causes has successions, that is, a potential sequence of effects that succeed one another, thus building and enlarging upon the first cause for either expanded blessings or intensified suffering. For whom? For the individual that pulled that volitional trigger, plus how it affects others. Therefore, blessing by association or cursing by association. We're all familiar with cursing by association. Yeah, we got that down. Blessing by association, how about that? Yes, we are responsible for the decisions we make before the God of this universe because of this system and this sequence. To all of this is added the element of relations, which refers to how the various successions that result from the first cause interrelate with each other. How do these successions interrelate? Now let's get another thing here. Let's gin this down smaller so we can see this. Cause, and we'll see if I can get my little initials here. Conditions, successions, relations. Okay, we're going to say the condition here is positive. So there are successions. This decision based on this condition results in successions in that it has impact on others. And so this can branch out to any number of people. Because this becomes a cause, this becomes a cause, a cause, and out here we have effects. And this can become a cause on somebody else. The ramifications are endless. I give you an example. All of us are minding our business, going through our life, trying to live our lives, and some doofus up in Washington makes a decision that changes everybody's life. We don't have enough room here. If I had a thing big as this, big as that wall, big as this church lot, we wouldn't have enough room to show all the successions and how they relate to each other. People who get positions of authority better be careful how they decide things that affect others, because once they let that cat out of the sack, and you know how hard it is to get a cat back in a sack, there's no ending to the mess that can be made. So we can see from the decisions that are made around us during a time of historical downtrends what an absolute horrid mess one decision can create. I've been talking to our military guys. I was honored to receive 3 phone calls last week. Monday, I get one from Tyler Ristey. Tuesday, I get one from Mark Davey. Wednesday, I get one from Everett Probasco. In talking to Mark, since he's no longer in the military for about 2 months now, I said, here's my opinion. I know that you might not want to in any way discuss this because you know how it is with you military guys. Don't use the word God or Bible or they come get you. But in my opinion, I have always defended whatever military exercise we have entered. Because of the fact our military men, and now bless their hearts, the women, have to be honored. It's a civilian concept. The civilians send the warriors into battle. Why blame them? They're hired help. They function under the mandates of the civilians. So a civilian says, go yonder and do battle. And they go. And then they entrap our men with rules of engagement that make it impossible to win the battle. How long does it take to win a war? I submit it should not take 10 years. I think more people would live through it, benefit from it, if you decided, if you were going to pull that trigger, to go to war with every piece of weaponry available to you and get it done within 3 weeks. Kill the enemy. Root them out. And kill them dead. Make it clear that you will not put up with any more of their shenanigans. And if they do, we will be back. And then come home. We have not fought a war to win since 1946. We didn't win Vietnam. We left that a mess. We're still in Korea. I don't even know what to call Panama and Grenada and Bosnia and Kosovo. I don't know what that was. And now we've got 2 Iraqs and an Afghanistan and we're locking and loading for somebody else. Blood, money, and time down the drain. That's my view. So I said to Mark, that's what I think. What do you think? He said, I agree 100%. We are not in the business of winning wars, so why start them? Fewer people would die, there'd be a better end to the whole story. So we honor our military because they're put into that quagmire. And look at this on the board. Let's just change this positive to a negative and imagine the lives that have been affected by a decision. We've got Walter Reed and that other place up near Washington where our men come back with limbs missing. For what? Why should our men's limbs be missing? Why aren't their limbs missing? They're happy to blow themselves to smithereens. Let's help them. So look at this. This is what happens when somebody makes a decision. People are hurt and injured and maimed and die. For what? Now, get it back personal. You look at the mess here that can be created and has been created. What kind of mess are you making with your thoughts, your decisions, and your actions, and your successions, and your relations? What mess are you making? Good or bad? What is it? To all of this, then, is added the element of relations, which refers to how the various successions that result from the first cause interrelate with one another. It can be the biggest mess you ever saw, or it can be something that will result in great prosperity and blessings to so many people that you can't even imagine. There's a ripple effect. God honors good decisions. He is going to clamp down on bad ones. We've got them going on a national level. We need to have good ones in here to stave off the enemy, who is Lucifer, son of the dawn, Hallel ben Shaker. Why is he trumping everything? Why do we allow him in these doors? Why is he in this country? Why is he making so much progress with the people in a free society? How is that happening? That right there. Bad decisions limit future options. Therefore, any decision you make does not stand alone. It is a first cause whose condition is either good or bad. You get to choose. Free will. That's it in the angelic conflict. Free will. And look at that definition. What is God recognizing in that definition? He is recognizing free will. He doesn't have to tell us what he's up to. This is not in the Bible, these words in this sequence here. It is distilled from doctrine. And we've taught this before. You don't know about this? Then go get the white book. There's plenty over there. We've got some in the back. The integrity of God. Read Appendix A, I think. If it's not A, then it's B. Right there. It's broken down. Concept after concept after concept based on the Word of God. This is theology. You can't go to a verse. Show me the verse, you say. I'll show you the verse. Look at here. I've got the verse. Where did this come from? Right in there. You dig it out. Huh. Now listen. Any decision you make does not stand alone. It is a first cause whose condition is either good or bad. It has a ripple effect that the definition classifies as successions that interrelate with each other to draw others into the effect created by the first cause. Now, are you perplexed? Or are somehow you're copacetic? You can sit down and think, you know, I've been making all these great decisions lately. And this had all, I'm just so pleased that I've been involved in all this rippling. Or you can sit there, you can be perplexed thinking, holy cow. Why do we have so many divorces in the country? That was made before the I do's. Before the I do's. Don't marry them. Please, all of you single people in here, don't get married until you get... there's more. Don't get married until you are absolutely sure that that's somebody you want to be with for the rest of your sorry life and for eternity. How well do you love them now? Or are you like that woman that went up to Washington the other day and told everybody that she's taken on the entire male student body of Georgetown University? I'm sort of impressed with that. That woman needs help. Give her those pills. But, you know, what is her mama thinking? National television? You take some of the sweet ladies we have in our church. Just imagine this, if you can. You know, she's a person you don't know, Mrs. Fluff or whatever. And imagine in our church we have one of our young ladies show up in Washington on national television. And she sits there in front of senators and congressmen and other folks all in the room and she says, I am a loose woman and I need help. From the taxpayer, because I can't help myself. It's too much money. And so everybody says, she's right. We have to give her package of pills every month. Or maybe two packages, whatever she needs. But it's going to be free. We'll let the taxpayer pay for it. talk about the ripple effect on that. The effect can be blessing by association if the cause was a good decision. The effect can be a category of suffering if the cause was a bad decision. And God knows we're making bad decisions on a national level. And all of this is taking place. One decision, ripple effect. One decision, ripple effect. Everybody gets involved eventually. And what's it going to do? It's going to tear down this country. Now, that's on a broad scale. What about small groups? What about a family? Why are there so many divorces? It is because they didn't vet the person before they said, "Darling, will you marry me?" Well, she's drop-dead gorgeous. She's 23. She's drop-dead gorgeous. You know, she's got all of the pulpitude that you need. And she's got this great personality, all of that. You know, there's nothing to dislike so far. Then you say, "Marry me." And then you go, you get me, of course. That's what I love to do is weddings. So please come to me. And then you do the wedding, and then then they go off. And all of this starts happening. And you find out that although she is as pretty as Venus, inside the devil lives. She's going to turn you every way but loose. She is going to ruin your life. And then you get on the phone and call Lou. $700 an hour to get out of that deal. And you're saying, "It's worth it, it's worth it. I want to be free at last." Why is this? Why are families so messed up? Right here. Why are organizations messed up? Right there. I don't see Heather. Is she here today? Heather, don't you direct a band somewhere? Do you have troublemakers in there? She said she does. I was a troublemaker once. They handed me a trombone and I didn't even know what it was. I thought it was a plumbing device. And Mr. Maul used to get upset with me because I actually tried to play it. It wasn't my idea, it was my mama's. "You will join the band and you will love it." All I'm trying to say to you is that you can take this system and you can insert it anywhere in life. But please know that the message today is designed to show you that this system works in your soul every day. What are you going to do with it? We must therefore realize that decisions have consequences. Good ones contribute to moving the plan of God forward. They expand opportunity and enhance blessings. The disposition of those affected becomes copacetic from a general environment of exoterica harmonia. That would be a better result. Bad decisions contribute to inertia in that person's spiritual life. They diminish opportunity and cancel blessings. The disposition of those affected becomes dispirited from a general environment of tension and distrust. The positive impact of consistent loyalty to doctrine that it has in the life of the believer and that of others is unmeasured. So you don't have no idea how far this goes when it's positive. It affects others positively. The negative impact of consistent disloyalty to doctrine has in the life of the believer and that of others is unmeasured. You have no idea how far it goes. And that's why the politicians, when you're running for office, if you contemplated running for office, I hope your mother doesn't find out. Child molesters and serial killers. I'd be willing to admit to that than one of my children was a politician. But if you do that, remember this, that decisions you make are on the board. I've got a positive and a negative. You choose which. Stand for truth. Whatever outfit you're running, stand for truth. That outfit is a marriage, stand for truth. Sports team, stand for truth. What's truth in sports, by the way? Rule book. Honor and integrity based on rules of the game. Some people want to expand that so it can, they can get an advantage of some kind. Like become dopers. I study baseball stats, and I can tell you that when they clamp down on the juice, that the numbers of those people that you suspected all along, see how they run out in the subsequent years. Isn't that interesting? Then this was on the board here, and it had impact on other teams who were not juicing. Was that fair? I don't know what to do in this bounty thing that they're so worried about now. I honestly don't get that one. Your job is to stop the other guy, okay? Long, if they don't throw a flag, then it's okay. I mean, if you want to stop that, then throw flags. Put it on the refs to throw the flag. And don't mark off 15 yards, throw him out of the game, penalize him, suspend him, throw him out of football completely. That's how to fix that. Let the players play. They don't want people throwing fastballs inside. What kind of a screwy idea is that? Get your head out of the way, buddy. And the ump, if he thinks you're purposefully doing that, he points the finger and everybody gets their warnings. But you see, it has a ripple effect. Everywhere you go, you see this. The tragedy for a client nation is when an ever-increasing number of its citizens, and most importantly its believers, become enmeshed in thought processes that produce human good and evil. Involved in processes. What is the production? What's on the production line in all of these ramifications, all of these situations? Human good and evil. Loss of order in the soul results in the loss of order in the commonwealth, which makes the nation vulnerable to the ploys of the dark side. And that's where we are as a people, as a nation. Let's don't have that here. We are the only stopgap measure for this madness. These ploys are presented to the benighted in such a way as to play on their emotions. You wouldn't like it. Say you live in a cul-de-sac. We've lived in cul-de-sacs everywhere we've lived up here. And say in the cul-de-sac you have these families with little children, okay? And say you decided to go out into the cul-de-sac, gather all the little children around the little island out there, and start giving them a level of propaganda in some manner or fashion. You make up the subject. But you've got these little willing minds, and you're good with children, and they come, and you give them candy, and then you start telling them stuff. And then they go back into the house, and then little Johnny and little Maureen tell Mama and Daddy what Fred has just told them out in the yard. Now, Daddy, when he gets home, hears this, and he marches over to Fred's house, and we've got ramifications. Yet, they send the kids off to the public school. Nobody says a word for the propaganda and the false doctrine and the absolute gross deconstruction of academia. The ploys are presented to the benighted in such a way as they play on their emotions. And what are the emotions directed toward? Human good. Human good is the subject they want to bring up. We need to do this because. And they look at the environment. The birds are going to die. The polar bears have... I heard the other day that the polar bears couldn't get to the seals because the ice is breaking apart. And then the seals, of course, they need to eat the little fish that hang around icebergs that are floating around. And because the things are breaking off, they can't get to these little fish and eat. So everything's going to die. So what have you got to do to fix this? Well, you got to get windows in your roof, fans in the yard, and that will fix it. Media are used to manipulate the ignorant and the brainwashed. Their propaganda is meant to bind and rivet upon those chains, rivet upon us those chains they have been so long forging. And the environment, climate change, health care, all of those are clanking chains to bind and rivet upon you what they've been manufacturing for a long time. Propaganda is defined by Webster as ideas, facts, or allegations spread deliberately to further one's cause or to damage the opposing cause. Know this. If you pay attention to anything that is said in this campaign, you're crazy. Political commercials, announcements, newspaper stories, Fox News, CBS, MSNBC, PBS, whatever they're saying, you're not interested because it's propaganda. What's the issue? I can't say from the pulpit. I want to say, but I don't need to say to you what the issue is. But it's not, has nothing to do with the people involved. Nothing whatsoever. The question that has to be asked, do we save the country or don't we? Oh, let me rephrase that. Do we try to have an opportunity to save the country or don't we? The biblically trained and doctrinally wise interpret these messages as rhetorical veils that conceal while advancing a hidden agenda. Everything you hear is a rhetorical veil. It is directed toward human viewpoint and human good in order to conceal while advancing the evil that is the hidden agenda. The practice of deception and duplicity are included in the functionality of evil. Evil is always presented with deception and duplicity. You tell, you say, you demonstrate whatever it takes to convince the other side to come around to your way of thinking. Truth is not a part of that. You only tell the truth when it is to your advantage to tell the truth. Now, who thought all of this up? Well, Lucifer himself. Who put it to great use? Hegel, Marx, Lenin, Stalin, certain of our past presidents, Woodrow Wilson, Franklin Roosevelt, Lyndon Johnson, ad nauseum. Evil people. Garbage. That grown people would concoct in their minds an evil system that bucks the divine decree for a client nation and put everyone's life in danger and therefore destroy a society that has prospered so fantastically well over 230 years. Why ruin this? What's wrong with this? Well, human good will tell you what's wrong. There's too much prosperity. People have too much. By the way, I passed the gas station today. It's pushing $3.80 a gallon. Well, we'll be happy with that because we were told it was going to $5. But do you understand that everything you get food wise is brought to wherever you get it by truck? They pay the gas, they up the ante, they do the same thing at the grocery store. This is called inflation, and it is purposefully done because you have too much. That is evil. Yet we are making decisions in this country based on evil desires. Evil people run the country. And I'm not making distinguishments between the parties either. Well, I think it matters. Practice of deception and duplicity are included in the functionality of evil, a subject that is addressed in detail in Scripture and about which the Lord warned His disciples in Matthew 24, verses 4 through 5. And that is a church age passage. In that response to their questions, what will be the sign of the end of the age, etc., etc.? There are three questions involved, and He answers them. And you have to know your dispensations. And so He answers first His church age. Then He goes tribulation, then He goes second advent. That was not the order of their questions, by the way. He had to set them straight in dispensational order. That's fascinating to me. They asked the questions. The question first had to do with church age. Then the second question had to do with second advent. The third question had to do with the tribulation. And He answered them in the correct dispensational order. And if you don't know that, then you can't understand the chapter. Evil is the motivation behind conspiracies in which individuals join in secret agreement to do an unlawful or wrongful act. Now, people want to say they're conspiracies. Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, Congress, all kinds of organizations can be described as a conspiracy. But here's what you need to understand is none of these organizations are able to pull off what they are suspected of doing. They don't have the genius for it. Who is the only person that has the genius to pull it off and do it on a global basis? Hillel Ben Shaker. He's the only guy qualified, and he never is able to pull it off. We know from prophecy, he never makes it. He gets on the verge, but he never makes it. A conspiracy's goal is to bring about a desired end whose accomplishment would transfer power and authority to its organizers. Okay? You have to go to bring about a desired end whose accomplishment would transfer power and authority to its organizers. Well, that means that the organizers at present don't have the power and authority they want. But they want to somehow finagle a way to get it without going through legitimate procedures. Many people conspire on a daily basis within small elements of human function, but they are of little consequence in the overall scheme of things. Conspiracies are everywhere. But what are the ones that do the most damage? Okay? The effort to deconstruct all societies into a global power sphere that a small group of people can then manage. That's what's so evil about the 14th Amendment. You don't understand that your life is controlled by the 14th Amendment. And you should read this. It's in there. Read it. And you will find, and if you pay attention to the Supreme Court decisions, which I do, all of these oddball decisions that are made, and when you read the majority opinion, you find always in there somewhere that the rationale for the final decision had to do with the 14th Amendment's equal protection or due process clauses, which were turned onto the states by the 14th. The Bill of Rights was intended to put in chains the federal government. And it says, you can't do these things. And then the 14th was illegally ratified in 1867. And then 20th century courts began to want to take power as they moved into the progressive mentality. And therefore, progressivism says centralized power. And so you go into the 14th and you see, hey, look at this. This actually put the onus on the states. We've got an amendment here that trumps the Bill of Rights. And they haven't quit since. Did you know that? They have a right to tell the states what to do. But now they do. And that had Think of the ripple effect of the 14th Amendment. It is unmeasured. A conspiracy's goal is to bring about a desired end whose accomplishment would transfer power and authority to its organizers. Who would that be? Centralized government. Many people conspire on a daily basis within small elements of human function, but they are of little consequence in the overall scheme of things. They affect their immediate area, but nothing broader than that to a big degree. However, the human mind is incapable of organizing the mechanics of a global empire, much less supervising its administration. Who's smart enough to do that? Hillel Ben Shaker. It is important to understand that there is a globalist conspiracy, but it is directed by the genius of Lucifer. Admittedly, humans are used in his cosmic program. They are manipulated to bring about Satan's desired objective, which is to be the ruler of this world. That's his ultimate objective. In the meantime, he's willing to fight small battles. What about a client nation? What does he want to do here? Well, as I've taught you and as we've seen from Scripture and from history, all societies, all civilizations develop a culture that is based on some foundational set of principles, and that always is religion of some kind. Doesn't matter what religion. If you pull people together, they all agree on something at the beginning. And what do they agree upon? Whatever religious belief they have. And they come together as a group and they say, let's carve out this piece of real estate where we'll do this. And then they just say, okay, we're going to have a system of laws. So they go to their religious principles and they draw from that concepts and ideas by which they establish a legal system. You have to have order. And before you have laws, you have to have order. And so you get the order from your foundational reference, which is your religion. And then you have order, and upon that you have laws, and then you have justice. And from that you hope to have freedom. Now, if Lucifer is going to get to a client nation, where does he have to go? What is the primary target? It would be that foundational religion, whatever it happens to be. And of course, by definition, it would be Christianity. Bible-based Christianity. So what is under assault in this country, since it is a client nation, the refuge for all who would hope to be free? It is Christianity, Jesus, the Bible, the church, the doctrine. And they want to keep it inside this room for right now. They don't want it going outside the walls. Gary's getting it outside the walls. We've got a list of people. Rick Hughes gets it outside the walls, but you know what? Rick can't get into the public schools anymore. They won't let him in there. Rick can't go in the public schools, but Gary can go into a public penal institution. I don't get that. But the target is clearly aimed at us. We do not need to help the enemy. Father, we thank you for the opportunity of studying these things today. It is our prayer that we would keep in mind your decree, the fact we're in it, and that you knew all about our decision making in eternity past, and you fixed the system to give us the guidance, the encouragement, and the restraint that is needed for us to best serve you. May we be motivated by these concepts to start making good decisions from a position of strength and to avoid bad decisions from a position of weakness. We ask this that we might better serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ while magnifying your word. And we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Karishumen kai rene, plethunthae en epinosai, tu theu kai iesu tu kuriu hemon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen.